You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Chris Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to All Action Sports Radio. We have another great show this week on All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. I'm Wes Drum, host, and I am jam-packed today for you, and we're going to jump right into it. But big congratulations to Stephanie Gilmore and Gabriel Mandina for going number one on the ASP Tour. Before we get into our show, we have Brian Deegan coming on a little bit later, and we have gold medal skier Matty Bowman coming on All Action Sports Radio. But first, you can tell my excitement, we have Ryan Scheckler's mom, Gretchen Scheckler. The Scheckler Foundation is giving out their annual award, and it's by vote. And Gretchen is on the line right now, and she's going to talk all about it. Gretchen, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. The 2014 Be the Change initiative is here. You have four finalists for the Be the Change initiative. And I guess I can name them or you can name them who the top four are.
Well, the top four are Two Autism with Love, a helping complete a documentary called On the Grind, a equipment for a Boys and Girls Club in Sheboygan, which you've got to love to be able to just say that, with
Sheboygan,
and Peaches Neat Feet. So we have four very different categories, but all within the alignment, you know, in alignment with our mission, and just a really fun. If you haven't seen it, you need to go on and look to see what. It always blows my mind how creative and how wonderful the human spirit is, and what people want to do to help others. It blows my mind. It ceases to amaze me what people come up with and how much need there is out there, and people getting outside of themselves and just helping another human being. Awesome. Sign me up all day long.
Well, the Ryan Scheckler Foundation is on a mission to empower people to be the change. And if people want to see the videos or go online and learn more about the finalists, they need to go to SchecklerFoundation.org, right?
Correct. That is correct. And it's right up on there where the voting will end on
March 17th,
and we'll have announce our winner.
Now, people can go to Scheckler Foundation to vote, right? You can vote there?
Yes. SchecklerFoundation.org, and you can go on. There'll be the four finalists are up on. You can watch their video, and then you can vote.
And once again, it's Two Autism with Love.
And yes.
They provide care packages for less fortunate families who have children for autism.
Mm-hmm.
Complete the On the Grind documentary, a powerful documentary in bringing light to skaters who use skateboarding to elevate themselves from poverty. And that's a nice one. And equipment for skate clubs for kids, and that's a skate club of the Boys and Girls Club in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yep.
And Peaches Neat Feet, custom hand-painted shoes that are made for kids fighting through serious illness. Wow. You know what? I have to tell you, Gretchen, you've been on the show before, as Ryan as well. It is just amazing to have someone like Ryan give back in such a fantastic way. I mean, people talk about it, but this guy puts his money where his mouth is, and I know that he also does his golfing.
We do a golf tournament. We do Skate for a Cause. Actually, Skate for a Cause is coming up. It's right around the corner. I've been online all day talking to people about their sponsorships, and it's in Lake Forest. We're doing it at the Etney Skate Park. It'll be our fifth year. It's a family-oriented event, and basically the money that we raise at that event will help us. Last year we did one Be the Change initiative. This year we hope to do 10, so that we will be able to do them almost every month, and not just spread the love and spread the money around and be able to really help out. We're really excited about it.
You know, that is just fantastic. Once again, listeners, you have to vote by Monday, March 17th. The winner will receive $10,000 to make their project a reality, all through the Ryan Scheckler Foundation Be the Change initiative. Thank you so much, Gretchen, for being a part of All Action Sports Radio this week, and we'll pass the word on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, Gretchen. All right. That was Gretchen Scheckler, Ryan Scheckler's mom. Be the Change. Vote now. All right, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. Coming up later, we'll have Brian Deegan, the general, owner of the Metal Militia, who is also racing right now on his Ford truck. And we'll have gold medals halfpipe skier Matty Bowman. She'll be here with us on All Action Sports Radio. But before we get to that, again, my favorite part of the show. Well, one of my favorite part of the show. Jason Weingart from RacerX Online, covering the Supercross series, and he's online with us right now. Jason, how you doing?
Yeah, are you saying that you're favoring me over even talking to Deegan? Yeah!
Deegan and I go way, way, way back before the Metal Militia days. And,
wow.
I'm looking forward to talking to him. It's going to be a fun show. Jason, Daytona, I guess from what I got out of it, what excited me was Dean Wilson made Chad Reed look like a genius. I mean, at least for the moment in Daytona, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, in the end, he finished seventh, but who cares? I mean, they did everything from a team perspective that you'd want. He was, for those that didn't follow it closely, he was the fastest qualifier of anyone on a 450.
Yes.
Faster than Villopoto, Stewart, Dungy, Roczen, and the rest. He wins the heat race. He runs a good second for most of the race. From the team standpoint, you got your sponsors a ton of love. You proved your bike is awesome. The buzz is all about that team when they could have just been not doing anything and Chad could have been sitting at home. It's not really about the results. When you're a replacement guy or an up-and-comer, you're just trying to show potential, and they totally did that.
Well, fatigue was a huge factor for Dean Wilson. I mean, he's used to 15 main event laps in the 250 class, and getting 20 laps under this race was kind of tough. The question is, can he work himself into shape this late in the game with a heavier bike to really be a factor late in the race?
Not if they had another Daytona, you know, next week or 2 weeks from now. I don't think he'd be able to get a ton better. I think the one thing that could be fixed is just he probably was just almost a little nervous in that situation, and that would probably go away. But the good news for him is that we don't have to race Daytona again. It's so much rougher and longer than the other races. 20 laps on a regular Supercross track, he should be able to handle it. So it probably won't matter. But I talked to other guys, like, say, Brock Tickle, who have moved up to the 450s the last couple of years, and they're like, dude, this track and that big bike, like, it's going to wear you out. You can't just fix that overnight. But next year when he's full-time, you should be fine.
Look out. All right, Ryan Villopoto was due, and the track being more outdoor favored him, and he delivered. You know, you're supposed to be when you're that good. He looked really comfortable, but for a little bit, I think Dean surprised him, and it kind of rattled him just a little bit. Don't you think?
Well, the practice thing had to. I mean, the practice is you know, in a race, you can kind of see where everybody's at. You know what position you're in. You're watching the pit board, and you know what their lap times are. But in practice, for the most part, the riders are just throwing down, and then they look up at the screen when they're done to see what they did. They don't really know where anyone else is. So if Dean Wilson is the fastest time, it's not because the other guys weren't trying. They don't even know what's going on. You know, they just run the hardest lap they can. They look up, and they must say, what the heck? 15 is still first. I can't beat this time. And I believe, I've heard that Wilson had the two fastest times. So for sure that means something. I think when it comes to the main events, Villopoto is so strong, he's not worried that he's going to lose over the course of 20 laps. But no doubt those guys had to be thinking about it.
Yeah, I think Dean Wilson was – Dean was in his head. It just feels like that to me. Hey, let's shift over to 250 real quick in our last few minutes. What the heck was that all about with Malcolm Stewart and Justin Barcia?
Oh, dude, yeah, that was not joking around. Honestly, in my opinion, I don't think Barcia really did anything that bad. His reputation is so terrible, though, that as soon as there's a tangle-up, it's always going to go back on his shoulders. To me, he just kind of went to the inside and tried to make a pass, and then racing happened. But Malcolm wasn't very happy because, I mean, it's Barcia. Anytime he does something now, it's like a bomb going off.
But the way he used his bike towards the end of that, is that fine-worthy or no?
Oh, it was, yeah. They fined Malcolm $5,000 just last night. Because, see, he already had a similar situation earlier in the year with Cooper Webb ran into him, and I think that one was Cooper's fault, but Malcolm shoved him. You know how it works in all sports. You can do stuff that's within the field of play, but once you
retaliate,
shove a guy in the field or get physical like that, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, it's always the last man standing. Hey, Martin Davalos, he's having a great season, isn't he?
Yeah, because, see, he's always known as being inconsistent but fast. He's been consistent this year. He's not the points leader. He maybe could have won another race or two without a fall here or there, but for the most part, he's solid every week, which is not his deal. So everybody's pumped on Cincerullo, but this is long from over. Any of these other guys could still win it, I think.
Hey, in our last 20 seconds, Detroit, Motor City, can Villopoto stay tough?
Yeah, I think so. He's got this big points lead and a little momentum now, and it's the dog days of the season, and it's kind of dragging on. It's going to be hard for these other guys to get motivated at this point. They got to be feeling a little down in the dumps.
Well, I know Ryan's hanging in there, so he's not going anywhere. Brock Tickle made a strong push. But Ken Roczen, this might be his weekend, yeah?
They're all capable. They're all capable. There's no doubt about it. But I think they need the right circumstances. If Villopoto doesn't screw up, it's going to be tough, man. He starts to really roll halfway through the year while the other guys seem to be getting tired. It's kind of interesting.
He's in shape. He's in shape. Jason Weingant, RacerX Online, thank you so much for being a part of our show. And we'll see you in the Motor City, Detroit.
I'll be there. Talk to you next week, Wes.
All righty. All right, coming up, we have Maddie Bowman and Brian Deegan. And we'll be talking surf with Ryan Simmons here on All Action Sports Radio. We're back here at All Action Sports Radio. And don't forget, you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. And you can always call in at 855-892-9606. And before we get into our next segment, I want to give a big shout out to KLO 1430 AM in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. All right, our next guest, she's an American free skier. She won a silver medal in the Super Pipe at the Winter X Games in 2012. She won gold at the Winter X Games in 2013, and she is our reigning world champion in the 2014 Winter Olympics in the ski half pipe. She is in Park City on the mountain with us here at All Action Sports Radio, the one and only Maddie Bowman. Maddie, welcome to All Action Sports Radio. My name's Wes.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. She's on the slopes in Park City doing what she does. Maddie, how's life been in the aura, the glow of gold medal, I guess, fame?
It's been great. I definitely feel like the same old person, but it's been great to have a bunch of opportunities. Like, I went to the Vanity Fair Oscars party, and
Ooh. Now
I get to go home, and they're throwing a celebration, so I'm pretty excited.
Are they throwing a parade for you?
Yeah, they're throwing a celebration for me and Jamie Anderson and Hannah Teeter. We're all out of here at Tahoe.
All right, nice. Hey, over in Squaw Valley, years ago, after Johnny Mosley won his gold medal, I was with him and some other guys, and Squaw named a slope after him. Do you think they'll do that for you at Sierra?
I don't know about a slope, but we do get our own parking spots right up front. So,
all right,
pretty excited about that. They're pretty awesome to us there.
The perks of being a gold medal winner.
Now,
let's take me back to Sochi real quick, Maddie. The half pipe, just how bad was it? I mean, we heard a lot. I mean, Sean White was like, it's the worst ever. I mean, there was a lot of rumblings around there. It was great for you, obviously. But during practice, just how bad was it?
Whenever you build a half pipe, it takes about a week or so to break it in. And we were after the snowboarders. I mean, the first day of practice, we did have to give some feedback, but they really cleaned it up for us. And I don't think it was bad at all. I don't know. I never skied it when the snowboarders were in it, but for us, it was pretty awesome.
So there was no point in your strategy that you said, I have to change what I'm doing because to compensate for this half pipe?
No, not at all. I mean, I think I just went with the same plan, and I think everyone did. I mean, you just have to adjust to every half pipe, so it wasn't too big of a deal.
You're listening to All Action Sports Radio, and we're on the line with the Olympic ski halfpipe winner, Maddie Bowman. Hey, Maddie, do you pinch yourself? Do you kind of wake up and go, wow, I just did that. I'm 20 years old, and I just won a gold medal.
It's hard to believe still. I mean, I definitely can't believe it. It felt really real the night of the competition, and after that, it just doesn't feel like it's real. I think it might take years for it to soak in.
Are you wearing the medal right now?
No, I'm not.
I know people want to touch it. They just walk up to you and they go, can I touch your meadow?
Yeah, totally. Had a lot of people touch it.
And now, how cool was that to have David Wise carrying you around after you won?
That was pretty funny. We were up there taking photos. He was like, you realize you're growing on my shoulders. And I was like, as long as you don't drop me, I'll do it.
David's awesome. He was on a couple of weeks ago, and what a great guy. What a great win for him and his family. Now, I mentioned you off the radio that we had talked to Kelly Clark a few weeks ago, and she won when she was just 18. And she said if anyone had told her at 18 that she would still be competing at 30, she would have called them crazy. Can you envision yourself still competing at the same level when you're 30 years old?
I hope I could, but I think it's pretty crazy.
I mean, is that something you're aspiring to? Are you gearing up for the next Olympics, or are you one and done?
You know, there's so much time in between the Olympics for us. We have X Games and Do Tour and other things to worry about. So, I mean, we probably won't think about the Olympics for another 3 years, but I plan to keep, you know, going skiing and enjoying it. And I mean, I'm going to ride this out as long as I can.
And why not, right? And why not? Maddie, I don't think it's bad news, but you know what? There are people who are working hard towards the next Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, I just like to take everything one day and one competition at a time, you know, and it worked out for me this season, and I think I'm just going to keep doing that.
That's a great attitude. Now, you did say you are going to college?
Yeah, I currently go to college at Westminster in Salt Lake City, and it's great. They let me take time off to go skiing, so I'm pretty stoked.
What are you studying? What's your major?
I'm undeclared right now.
I'm sorry,
but
what is that?
I'm looking at math.
You're undeclared and you're looking at math as a major? Oh, wow. Brainy? Skilled?
Yeah.
You got all the tools, man. That's awesome.
I don't know about my English isn't that great, but my math skills are good.
Hey, Maddie, now that moment that you won, can you take us through it? You know, when you stumped it and you came off of it, what was that like? I mean, just that moment, that when you looked around and all those people were cheering for you, what did that feel like?
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was cool to be skiing there with my friends, and it felt like just to land a run felt like a million pounds had been lifted off, you know, your shoulders, and it was a pretty cool and unreal experience.
Now, Maddie, both your parents were racers, and they wanted you to get into racing, but it's not something that you wanted. You said it was too serious. I mean, the Olympics are pretty serious, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, the people that I ski with, we're just going out and skiing with our friends. I mean, we work hard, but at the same time, we wouldn't be able to do what we do if we weren't having an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Maddie, what besides winning the gold medal will you always remember as a special moment in Sochi, be it with another skier or a village or something you saw? What was a touching moment for you during the Sochi Olympics?
I think the best moments were just the moments I shared with, like, my team and my coach, Ben Verge, and, you know, Anna Drew and Britta Savarni. It was something that we'll always have together, and you can be like, hey, remember that one time we went to the Olympics together?
Hey, Maddie, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What competition? What are you working on besides college?
I don't know. I'm pretty much done for the season. I'm just focused on having fun and ripping around with my friends and, enjoying skiing, every part of it.
See, as the host here at All Action Sports Radio, I was thinking you were going to say, well, I'm working on my 1080.
No, just having fun. I'm working on my park game right now. It's been a while since I've been in the park.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who are you skiing with right now?
I'm skiing with Britta Savarni.
Oh, nice.
And this girl named Hannah, who's competing at the Junior Championships here at Park City. She's from Sun Valley.
Oh, so you're skiing with a Grom?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. She kills it.
Is she the next?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I know your parents have to be super proud of you. What did they say to you when you came home?
I don't know. I haven't been home yet.
You haven't been home yet?
No, but they were there in Russia with me, and that was a cool experience to share with them. They were really proud.
Now, you might have said earlier, and it might have got past me, but when are you going home?
I'm going home tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yep.
Well, from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio, I want to give you a big, hearty congratulations, and thank you for all your hard work and just doing America proud.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our 2014 U.S. Ski Half Pipe Champion, gold medal winner, Maddie Bowman. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
All right, Maddie. Maddie, before you leave, hold on just a second. We'll, all right?
Okay.
Imagine life at its full peak. Then imagine lying dead in the arms of your enemy. Imagine peace on this earth when there's no grief. Imagine grief on this earth.
And we're back with All Action Sports Radio. And it was cool, Maddie Bowman. I mean, what is she, 20 and gold medal with the Olympics? Man, 20 and life to go. All right, in our next segment, we're coming in with the founding member of the Metal Militia. He was the first ever to do a 360 in competition. He named the trick the Militia Twist. He's the most decorated freestyle motocross rider in X Games history, and he has switched gears. He has moved into off-road racing, where he was Dirt Sports Magazine 2013 Driver of the Year. He is on the line, the General, Brian Deegan. Brian, welcome to All Access Sports Radio. My name's Wes. I'm your host here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, it's been a long career, but still going at it. Just got into four wheels, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and was able to jump in, win all the championships and off road, and that's been a good ride, you know.
He's being modest, folks. For all our 1.1 million listeners, he was the 2011 Lucas Oil Driver of the Year, Lucas Oil Rookie of the Year Pro 2, Lucas Oil Pro 2 Champion, Lucas Oil Pro Light Champion, and he represented the Race of Champions in Germany in 2012. That's what Brian Deegan decided to step away from FMX and into off-road racing. That's what he did. That's what he did. All right, Brian, you're being modest. You're currently leading in points in the Pro Light Series, and you're currently third in points in the Pro 2 division. You have a race coming up March 22nd, right?
Yeah, we got the race at Chandler, Arizona. That's a good track. I've won there a few times, so we're looking forward to going back there. It's right there in Phoenix.
And then after that, April 25th and 26th, you're in your backyard, Lake Elsinore.
Yeah, that's my home track right there. Going out there and should be able to win that race. That's my backyard.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, you segued into off-road racing, and you're just dominating. I mean, what's the end game for you?
Well, you know, it's for me, I've been focusing on off-road ever since, and I feel like that's motocross kind of overall style and that I've carried into truck racing. I've been able to pick it up really quick. Built great trucks, have a great team, and I end up getting this full sponsorship by Ford Motors. So I'll be racing for them, and the future is, you know, it's off-road trucks, rally cars, you know, X Games. That's kind of my main thing, and then focusing on my kids racing as well.
Oh, we're going to get to your kids. You're amazing. But you have a signature tire coming out too, right?
Yeah, you know, I've been working with Mickey Thompson. And, you know, it's pretty cool because, you know, I was with a different tire company when I first came in. And I've been explaining to them, hey, I want to do my own tire. I want to do this and that. And Mickey Thompson were like, hey, we'll do it. The only thing I was a little worried was Mickey Thompson had never won an off-road championship at Short Course. So I'm like, kind of everyone's laughing, going, yeah, you're not, you know, it's going to jinx you. You're not going to be able to win on those tires. So I seen that was a challenge. We went and developed some good stuff, and I came out and won the first championship for them in the Pro Light and almost won the Pro 2 again. And so it turned a lot of heads. I think that helped the company quite a bit. And now we're releasing the Deegan 38 off-road tire, which is going to be a massive deal.
Dude, that's going to be massive. You're absolutely right. When does that come out?
That thing's going to release in April. And it's been a lot of hype behind it. SEMA is one of the you know, was named the product of SEMA. It was like the best product launch at SEMA, so it was pretty cool, you know.
If our listeners want to know how to get that tire, or is that their shop, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, you go through, just go on to MickeyThompsonTire.com, and it explains where your closest dealer is. You know, it'd be like Discount Tire, like, you know, just like all the main tire places will carry it.
Man, that is absolutely amazing. I don't think anyone else has ever done that, right?
No, think about it. Think about how many names are on tires. Is there really? Like, think about how many signature names are on tires. There's not many.
No,
like,
not
less than a handful, you know? And so it's a pretty big feat for sure.
And then you turned around and won with that tire.
Yeah, I turned around and won with it. I'm going to race with it again this year, and, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Just real quick, we got about 15 seconds before we go to break. You tested this tire and it got it to exact specifications that you wanted. It wasn't just a tire that they just put out there and you put your name on it.
No, I had a huge influence on tire design. We had a lot of changes. I wanted it to be my style, so it's something that definitely represents me.
Okay, good. All right, folks, stick around. We'll be back with Brian Deegan. We gotta pay the piper here at All Action Sports Radio. But we'll be back and we'll be talking more with Brian Deegan, 38, from Metal Militia and Off-Road Racing here at All Action Sports Radio. We're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Before we get into our next segment here, I want to give a big shout-out to KIVA 1600 AM in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. We're on the line with Brian Deegan, the general from Metal Militia, to Off-Road Racing, to All Action Sports Radio. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Brian, I think the world can all breathe a little easier, and PETA is not outside your door because you did not kill those squirrels in that barrel.
No, it's funny. My kids came running up. Oh, there's the squirrels in this trash can, and it had been raining really hard, so they must have fell in there from the ledge. And it's funny because the boys say one thing, and then my daughter's like, oh, let's save them. She wanted to get a hair dryer out and hair dry them so they'd warm up. And you know, my wife's like, are you crazy? Those things got diseases. And my little kid's like, let's shoot it, and got the BB gun out. So, and I'm like, yeah, that's about right. And then Haley was going to beat on the boys, so it was the squirrels end up living, so it was pretty funny.
Well, good for the squirrels and good for you for not taking them out. All right, Brian, it's been well documented. As an FMX rider, you've had 15 to 20 broken bones, your hip, your shoulder, even your back. You crashed and had a life-threatening crash. You know, when you were filming the episode for Viva La Bam, and you pretty much decided you were done with freestyle motocross, and you moved over into off-road racing. So the question is, why in the world, or how in the world, did you convince your wife to get Haley Dirt Princess Deegan to compete with trucks at such a young age, at 11?
Yeah, you know, what's crazy is I started racing the Lucas Series, and I always paid attention. They had this kids class. It was like a miniature race truck class for kids. And I know we had our family was there, and the coolest thing about it is getting the kids involved, because then the racing becomes a family atmosphere to where I've been gone enough. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm leaving for the mm-hmm. weekend. I got to go to X Games and set. And now it's like, hey, let's all go together, and we're all going to race together. And it just, it really has made the family way stronger. And we, you know, we sit around the dinner table, and I can talk to my daughter about race lines and, you know, about setup, and just, it's cool because we have that lingo now. And she's not only just does it for fun, she went out and was the first girl to win the championship, beating all the boys. So it's pretty cool.
Dude, you're killing me. I mean, we sit around, you're doing what I do with baseball. I follow my kids around, and we're into baseball, and we talk baseball at the dinner table, and you're talking about off-road racing with Haley, your daughter, which is phenomenal. Yeah. Now you have Hayden, Deegan, he's competing in motocross, and your youngest son, Hudson, he's only three, and you already got him on a dirt bike.
Yeah, it's well, it's all, you know, where I live, you know, as far as my whole compound, it's got, you know, I got racetrack for trucks, for dirt bikes. They've got everything there, race shop. So they grow up around it. They think that's normal. And Hayden, you know, started riding motocross about a year ago. And I'm like, all right, I try to avoid it. I put him in a race car, a little cart. He didn't really want to do it. He wanted to race motocross. So I took him there. Within the first 6 months, he won five championships.
Wow.
Ended up getting the youngest kid signed to a factory contract. And, you know, and now here we are. We're at the motocross track again. And he's just, you know, got skills to do it. And Hudson's following his footsteps. He's 3 years old. You know, no training wheels on a dirt bike, airing it out. Is pretty gnarly.
So are you leaning more towards Supercross or FMX?
I really, you know, oh, for surely want, you know, Hayden's definitely, you know, want him to race motocross or Supercross over freestyle because the sport's too crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love the discipline in motocross. It teaches you. And but the thing is, I really, really like Hayden. The ultimate goal is at 14, 15, get in a race car and start racing either NASCAR, a rally car, you know, off-road trucks, whatever it is. But, you know, that's going to be up to him, and who knows at that time.
Dude, that is phenomenal. With a dad like you behind him, Brian, the world is wide open. And, you know, from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio, please give Haley a congratulations on winning her first race of the year. And, man, good luck going forward. You have a race on March 22nd at Wild Horse Motorsports Park in Chandler, Arizona, and another one April 25th through 26th at Lake Elsinore Motorsports Park in Lake Elsinore, California. Folks, you go out and see Brian Deegan. You're watching a legend. You won't get another chance. Brian, thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio, and good luck going forward.
Awesome, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Always fun. And then if you want to follow me, just you can go on Instagram to Brian Deegan 38 and see what I'm doing daily and check out the kids. So right on.
All right, absolutely. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. Coming up, we have the ASP with Ryan Simmons. All right, we're back here at All Action Sports Radio, and that song reminds me of our song of the week, Bad Things, Cotton Side. That's Shaun White's, not new band, but Shaun White's band, Bad Things. That'll be our song of the week, and that'll be right after our segment, which we have coming up right here. And again, one of my favorite segments here on All Action Sports Radio. I am here with Ryan Simmons. He's a USA Junior Surf Team coach, ex-pro surfer, and former WQS competitor, and our resident surf expert here at All Action Sports Radio. Hey, Ryan, Gabriel Medina and Stephanie Gilmore claimed the Quicksilver Pro Gold Coast and Roxy Pro on epic days, and you saw it coming.
Yeah, you know, Stephanie Gilmore has really stepped up to the plate. We'll go with the girl side first, and she just looks like she's recharged, and she had the off year last year, and, you know, whatever she did in the off season worked because she came out of the gates, and she made Carissa Moore in that semifinal look bleak, and that is hard to say when Carissa had the highest heat total of the event before that. So, I mean, that sounds harsh, but I'm just saying in that one heat, Carissa faltered a little bit. Stephanie, you know, took charge and then just was not to be stopped in the final.
Well, if you look at it, the 2013 season, like you mentioned, no event wins, and she's a five-time world champion. And to come back first stop, she kind of sent a message, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I watched her at the U.S. Open last year when I saw you guys down there, and she just wasn't herself last year. So there was just something going on with her, probably, you know, who knows, mentally, spiritually, physically, I don't know what it was, but it was something. She couldn't even probably make it out of, like, an amateur heat last year. That's how bad she was surfing, but she's so good, she still was in the top five. So this year, it's like, now she cares, it's all good, good boards, all brand new stuff, and it's gnarly. So Carissa's got her work cut out. The other girl, Sally, looking for her first title. Courtney, the girl's on the fringe, you know, third, fourth, and fifth. It's going to be tough to beat Stephanie Gilmore this year.
She made it exciting. With Lakey, Courtney, I mean, all you can say is Stephanie made it exciting. You know, if Carissa Moore would have won, I think people would have said, okay, Carissa Moore is winning. But now Stephanie laid down the gauntlet, and it's going to make it more exciting for everybody to watch the girls this season. Let's switch gears.
Okay.
With his victory, Gabriel Medina became the first Brazilian and the only second goofy footer to win the event, and the kid is only 19 years old.
Well, what I noticed initially from the first few heats and his post-heat interviews, he seemed really calm and humble. So I don't know if last year having a lot of those close calls where he thought he won finals and a lot of people thought he won and then he gets second, and then, you know, there was a lot of whining and kicking.
Yes.
And he was young, though. He was young. So he's matured, and I think he was rewarded for just being, you know, under the radar, but he's so talented, and then, you know, getting injured last year at this same event. So maybe a little karma in his favor.
And you can call him the comeback kid. He came from behind from each heat. And you know what? That takes a lot to come from behind. I think you're right about him maturing, because when things went wrong, it kind of got in his head. But this guy, he was on a mission. And he came back against some pretty tough competition. You're talking about Mick Fanning, Taj Burrow, and Joel Parkinson.
The best. Yeah, and he praised his competition after every heat, which when the surfers give thanks, you know, to the other surfer making them surf good, that's when you know they're in a good mind space. When they, you know, so in that right, he was aware of what was going on, beating the top names, and then he was, you know, giving thanks to their talent, and which in turn doesn't make him get a big head, which allowed him to come from behind.
Smart. I like it. You know, as a former competitor, I think you're spot on. Hey, you know what? You know what I came to the realization, you know, watching the competition? Kelly Slater's 42, competing against 19-year-olds. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. Call me crazy. It just didn't feel right. It doesn't seem as obvious as it did last year.
I just think you're right. The farther he pushes it, when he's going to be a little off, and Kelly's my friend, and I'm just going to be really honest. If he's a little off, it's going to look a little, you know, quirky, because he is getting older. So he's not going to be able to recover as quick. So we're all now starting to see the flaws of the age. I mean,
yes.
I almost hate to say that, but that's reality, and that's just something that he's going to have to deal with. And, yeah, I mean, I think we're getting near the end of the Kelly Slater domination, because these young kids are coming up, and they're starting to get rewarded.
You're absolutely right. There were also some shocking eliminations, and we talked about John last week,
yeah.
Jordy Smith, Julian Wilson, all who we think are the next guys who should be contending for the title to bounce out so early. The Drug Aware Pro at Margaret River, which I think is kind of awkward sounding, starts on April 2nd. Who do you see favoring that going in? I mean, let's take Gabriel Medina out.
Okay, well, you can put him back in, because it's when Margaret River, the normal peak is between 4 and 6 feet, the right is better. So you're going to see them surf the right off that wave in this event if it's between 4 and 6 feet, because the right bowls and it gives you the opportunity for maybe a barrel and in the lip maneuvers. The left, people don't know. Margaret River's left is very mushy and very tricky to surf. So the guys are hoping it's on the right now. So that's going to favor maybe the backhanders or the guys that have the local knowledge. So then you've got to go back to it previously being a six-star, you know, prime, a lot of the WQS guys. So maybe guys like, you know, I'll throw out names like Dion Atkinson and the guys that surf the event year after year, grinding through the WQS, and now they finally got their opportunity on the WCT. And now, oh, there's an event at Margaret River. So I bet the dark horse wins the event.
All right. We'll hold you true to that. Ron Simmons, thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, this is our song of the week, Bad Things, Cotton Side. All right, that's Shaun White's band. If you want to hear the rest of that track, you can go to our Facebook page or you can go to All Action Sports Radio and you can hear the rest of Bad Things, Cotton Side. I want to thank our guests this week, Jason Weingand from RacerX Online, gold medal skier Maddie Bowman, and Brian Deegan, owner of the Metal Militia and Off-Road Racer. And I want to thank Ryan Simmons. And of course, I want to thank you, the listener, for being a part of our show each week. Our crew, we will talk to you next week here at All Action Sports Radio. My name's Wes. I'm out.
Big booty woman is hard to find. I find my